people. Oh yeah, I would sail the seven seas.
That's Muddy Waters. I'm playing Muddy Waters all night. It's from an old CD called Muddy Waters, His Best, 1956 to 1964. I am in studio with a novelist, short story writer, Ronna Weinberg, who was on a month ago, 6 weeks ago, and I was so taken with her book, her novel on Bittersweet Place. She sent me a nice note saying, well, if I'm ever in Chicago, I'd love to meet you. Thank you for the interview. And I said, well, come on in here and we'll talk more about this remarkable novel, Your First, about spending time at Ragdale, which is which is where I'd like to live, frankly, for the rest of my life, and writing in general. How often do you visit Chicago?
I visit it maybe once or twice a year, but first of all, it's a pleasure to be in the studio and to be talking to you again.
Oh, that's nice.
So thank you.
You're so thoughtful. You're here with your lovely sister, too.
Yes.
It's a family affair,
right.
As is on Bittersweet Place, which tells the sort of coming-of-age story of a very, very compelling young woman growing up on Bittersweet. Talk again about how that whole... You could have picked a lot of streets.
You know,
you really could have.
Yeah.
You grew up in Lincolnwood.
I grew up in Lincolnwood, that's right. I picked on Bittersweet Place because an aunt and uncle of mine had lived there when I was a child, and I was always struck by the name.
Sure.
It had a lot of resonance for me, and so when I was trying to figure out where Lena, the main character, would live, I thought it would be a great street. And I also investigated what the Bittersweet Vine was like, and what it meant, and it's poison to certain to people, but certain animals are able to eat it. So it really resonated for me.
Yeah, there's a meaning. There's some meaning behind it. You were, previous to this novel, a short story writer of some distinction, and I will let you know exactly what kind of distinction after I finish your book on when I'm off next week. That's going to be my reading material.
Oh, wonderful.
What is, Ms. Weinberg, the difference between short stories and novels? I know there's a simple answer to that, but you initially started, if memory serves, on Bittersweet Place, was perhaps going to be a sort of interconnected series of short stories. Is that right?
That's right. I was going to write a series of linked short stories about a Russian family. But when I finished the second or third story, I realized I had so much material that it was really a novel. And because of that, I decided to make it a novel. So when I had written a draft of the whole book, I had to go back and rewrite the first chapters to connect them with the rest of the novel.
Isn't it a little, is it not daunting to whatever moment you had when you said, hey, I think this is not a series of stories. I think this might be a novel, but I have this much of it, and I know a novel. You know what I mean?
Right. No, it is daunting, and I think no one would write a novel if they understood how long a process it is and how involved it was. But I was really taken with the material, so I thought, oh, I have a lot of material. This will be easy. I'll just write the novel. But I had to write many drafts of it and do a lot of research as well.
You were also, that's a point I want to make too, that I think because the book is so grounded and lyrical and none of the research is oppressive, you seem to have had a wonderful time doing said research.
That's right. I loved the research. It was a lot of fun. I loved learning about the different periods and about daily life and what people wore and what they read. It was really interesting to me. In college, I was a history major, so
I didn't know that.
It really suited me perfectly.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. How did you become a writer?
I'm actually a lawyer. I'm trained as a lawyer, but I always wanted to be a writer. And
Like Scott Turow. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And at a certain point, I took some classes. And that really, creative writing classes. I was living in Denver, and I took some classes at the University of Denver.
What do you think? What was the urge, though? What was it? A self-expressive kind of urge, or you thought you had a story to tell?
I don't know. It was a combination of things. Sometimes I would look at the, you know, what was happening in the world, and I would think it was so amazing, you know, that really the only way to express it would be in writing, that actually talking about it wasn't enough. And I always liked to write. I always liked words. And
And lawyers, I mean, the duty and profession of law involves a considerable amount of writing, no matter what kind of law you're in.
Right.
What were those first efforts like? Were you encouraged?
I actually was encouraged. I started to write poetry, and I went to a poetry workshop, and the woman whose name is Kathleen Spivak, she was an accomplished poet, and she said to me, you know, your poems are really like stories. And she said, if you're interested in writing, you should really take some classes. And so that's what I did. So she was encouraging to me. And I wrote, actually, one of the first things I wrote was that I was a public defender, and I wrote a short story about being a public defender. And I had a friend who was a reporter for a newspaper in Boulder, and I sent it to her, and she published it. You know, she said, I think this should be published. So I did get some encouragement.
That was the first short story you wrote?
Yeah. But, you know, I thought, well, this is going to be really easy.
Yeah. Oh,
but
yeah.
But it didn't
sure.
turn out to be that
sure,
easy.
Sure, sure. Did you quit practicing law to devote full time to writing? You couldn't have done it that early.
No, I did
it. Because there's no money in writing.
Right, exactly.
Yet.
I did it much later. I also have three children. And so when my children were young, it became more, you know, for various reasons, I decided that I was going to pull back from
Why
law.
Why were you practicing law in Denver?
I'm sorry?
Why were you in Denver?
I went to law school there,
okay.
And I really loved the West, and I decided to stay there.
A Lincolnwood girl in Denver.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah,
Rhonda Weinberg's novel, her first novel, is on Bittersweet Place, and it is a coming-of-age story set in the teens, 20s, roughly 1920s, and it focuses on a young woman who is, and one of the things that will stay with me forever, a lot of the book will stay with me forever, but one of the things is that this young girl makes up a list of things that she fears. How did that come to you? I'm not trying to give away all the writer's secrets, but that really was one of the most compelling things, and I think that had to resonate with a lot of your readers.
Uh-huh.
Yes?
Yes, I think people really like that. I don't know. Once the thing about this book is once I discovered Lena's voice, I was really able to write the book. And I think part of her voice is that she came here with a lot of fears because she came from a different country. She didn't know the language. And for some reason, it seemed natural for her to write a list of fears. That was how she could... She writes it so she could pull the fears out of her so she wouldn't obsess about them so they weren't going around in her head.
You mentioned, again, if memory serves, it's only a month ago, but I'm no kid, that you mentioned the last time we talked by telephone about the, not struggle, but the ways in which you had to find Lena's voice. Could you expand on that and sort of explain... Because a lot of would-be writers and writers listen to the show, and, you know, what does that mean, find her voice?
Well, it means I wrote some chapters or paragraphs, and it didn't really have anything unique to it. You know, there wasn't anything that made the character any different from any other character. And I knew I was writing about a 13-year-old girl, and so I wanted to try... and capture her. And I think a voice is a way of speaking, the kind of language you use, the way you look at the world.
Do you have to, you know, not to get too spacey here, as we say, but did you feel as if you almost had to dive into this character and become 13 or try to... That's where the imagination plays a great part in creative writing.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. I think as a writer, in a sense, you're a little bit like an actor, in a way. You have to inhabit these different characters, and you can't just stand on the side. You have to understand who they are, how they speak, what motivates them, how they feel. And one of the things a writing teacher told me is that you don't need a lot of descriptions for characters. You need the characters to sound differently, for each character to sound unique.
Yeah.
And so that's the trick to get the voice to understand how a character might speak. And then if you're in the character's thoughts, to understand how the character would think and the kind of words the character might use. And there was an editor for the book through the publisher, and, you know, he did some edits, and a couple of times he changed some words. And I said to him, you know, Lena would never use that word. That's not...
Oh, that's great. And you knew that.
I mean, right, I knew that. Oh. Yeah.
Rana Weinberg is the author of On Bittersweet Place, and a book that I'm going to call a real Chicago book, because it really does. There's a description of Maxwell Street that you could never have seen. That is true. We got to take a little break, and we'll carry on. I have to even think that Muddy Waters might have liked On Bittersweet Place. He would have liked the parts on Maxwell Street. Rana Weinberg is the author. That's RonanaWineberg.com. She has a very, very nice website. You did spend some time, and I don't hate to be obsessed with it, but I want to live there forever.
Yes.
Ragdale,
yes,
is a writer's colony in Lake Forest on beautiful, beautiful grounds where you spend time with other writers. You spend time by yourself, but you also spend time with other writers.
Right.
You mentioned earlier that writing a novel is hard.
Yes.
Places like that give one not only encouragement, but a place to do it.
Yes. It's true. Ragdale and other artist colonies are like heaven.
Yeah.
I mean, when I went there for the first time, I couldn't believe that a place like that existed, because your job when you're there is to write.
Yeah.
And you have your own room, you write, and then they make this wonderful dinner for you.
Yeah.
You know, they take care of all...
When you then you get to talk to other writers,
right,
too.
And they're also visual artists and composers.
Exactly. Creative sorts.
And it's so interesting. It's so stimulating to talk to the people. And there might be poets, you know, not necessarily just fiction writers. And it's really a wonderful atmosphere.
You do have a poet's touch. There are lines in the in your novel, On Bittersweet Place, that strike me as poetry. I think, if memory serves, you describe the street being, it was narrow like a snake.
Right.
That's a good phrase.
Thank you.
That is a good phrase.
Thank you.
The thing about On Bittersweet Place, it is not the sort of, you know, joyful coming-of-age story.
Right.
There are, I don't know if it shocked me, not easily shocked either, Rana, but Lena has some troubles.
Yes, she does. Serious troubles.
Very serious troubles with a kind of relative.
Yes, who's a predator.
Yeah, yeah. How did that, not to again get into your creative thought process, but how did that come to you? Did you feel that she needed...
It's interesting.
Trouble?
Well, I felt that she was probably going to face some difficult things in a new country. I didn't know what they were.
Yeah.
But I felt that that incident really reflected Uncle Maurice's character. It was her Uncle Maurice.
Yeah.
And
let's be frank. I mean, it's not spoiling. He rapes her.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Basically.
Yeah.
No, but
assault. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I felt that it really reflected his character. It reflected the era. I thought that things like that happened and weren't talked about. And it certainly gave her something very difficult to deal with. I didn't do it because I wanted to give her something difficult. I did it because it seemed somehow natural, or it seemed part of his character. And the family is all living together, and they're new immigrants. They're all struggling. The parents aren't really paying attention.
She does have a boyfriend. Max?
She does have a boyfriend, yes.
Max. I liked him a great deal. What's been the response to the novel? You send your first novel out there into the strange world of newspapers with no book section.
Right, it's true.
Radio stations with no book shows.
Yeah.
It's a tough world out isn't it?
It is. Well, first of all, the people who read the book seem to really enjoy it.
No question. I'm among them. Yeah,
thank you. And so that's very gratifying. And then I got some wonderful reviews, and actually the book won a contest last December, which was wonderful. It's called The Shelf Unbound Best Independent Book.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, so that was for 2016, and I actually submitted the book on the last day. I wasn't sure if I was going to submit it. I didn't want to bother my publisher, but I decided I would do it, and they told me it won. So that was really gratifying.
Yeah. Are you working on a new novel now?
I am. I have a novel that I've written, and I'm revising it, and it's completely different. It's a legal novel. It's based on a legal case.
Well, you're following the Scott Turow
method,
John Grisham and Scott Turow method of making millions of
dollars. I don't think I'm going to be there, but it is about a legal case, so I'm trying to
set it. Set in Denver?
It is set in Denver, yes.
Interesting.
Right.
You haven't given up on Chicago, though, have you?
No. In fact, a lot of my short stories are about Chicago. No, I love Chicago.
What is the process? What is the seed? How do you get the seed of a short story? And from that point, how do you proceed?
Well, that's a really interesting question. I mean, a seed can come many ways. It
sure.
can be someone, a piece of, you know, conversation that I overhear that I just so evocative for me. Or it can be something that I read, or it can be something that I
hear,
or that someone's experienced. But there's a story in my first collection called The Doctor. And the way that story came about is I was at a party, and there was an older couple talking, and they were reminiscing, and the wife said, yes, like in the old days. And I thought that was just their whole interaction was so evocative, so I started to write a story about it.
Do you write every day?
Ideally, I write every day. I try to write every
what
day,
time?
But it doesn't. But it doesn't always work out.
I'm fascinated with the Hemingway standing up every morning.
Oh, right. It doesn't always
hung
work.
Hung over at his writing desk.
I know.
I'm fascinated with that kind of.
If I'm really immersed in a project, like when I was doing this book, I write every day and I try and write in the morning. But if I can't do it, I'll do it in the afternoon and sometimes in the evening. The thing I find, especially with a novel, is if I don't do it every day consistently, then when I go back to it, I almost have to start over.
So
I've lost it. Yeah. But I try and write every day.
Where do you live now?
I live in New York.
In New York City?
Yeah, in New York City.
Wait, are you still practicing law?
No, I'm not practicing law.
Did you like practicing law?
I loved being a public defender because it was so...
Good for you.
It was dramatic. It was interesting. I could really help people.
Yeah.
And I saw what the criminal justice system was like, and it's really unfair, very unequal.
Oh, no question.
But, you know, when I was practicing other types of law, it didn't really feel creative to me. And so that was the part of it that I didn't like. Being a public defender was creative because I had a lot of trials.
Oh, yeah.
And a trial, you know, when you do a trial, it's almost like... You don't make things up, but you put a spin on it. So
yeah.
And
it's also immersive kind of law when you're on trial.
No question.
It is great to meet you. Again, Ron Weinberg is the author of... you could start with their short stories, but I would recommend starting with their novel On Bittersweet Place that is set in Chicago. It's a coming-of-age story of a young Jewish kid living on a street that is narrow like a snake. In, you know, the 1920s sort of Chicago. It's near the lake, and you do a great description of the lake. I can't recall it. Immediately, who do you read when you read? Who do you admire? Who?
I admire Alice Munro's short stories. You know, she's phenomenal. And actually, I love John Updike's short stories. They're beautiful.
Yeah.
And I love Isaac Bashevis Singer's stories and his novels. I mean, he's written wonderful novels like Shadows on the Hudson and Bernard Malamud.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those are some kind of classic authors that I
love. Yeah. Are you in a writer's group?
I've been in a writer's group.
Yeah, talk to me about that for a second because I'm fascinated with it. I was talking to some people yesterday and I wasn't sure I wanted to. I said, look. If you want to get in a writer's group, I think it can be good, but look at it like going to the doctor. There are all sorts of different writer's groups. Is that bad, never having been in one?
Yeah.
Is that bad advice?
Because no, I think that's true. I think the thing about a writer's group, and I have been in some writer's groups in New York, I'm not right now, but is that you have to know whose advice to take. Because
exactly.
Some people are really great critics, and other people come.
Some people are just jerks.
Right, they are.
Yeah.
So you can't take it personally, and you have to know. And you can't please everyone. You have to know who you trust.
Yeah, yeah.
So, So you have to learn that as you go along.
Has this novel empowered you? I mean, I'm making a real leap of faith here and saying I'm going to very much like your collection of short stories too. But has this empowered you in any kind of way that surprised you?
Well, it's really made me feel like a writer, you know, to have a published novel. Yeah. It was a wonderful feeling. And, you know, to give readings and have people ask questions, it's been very exciting.
You know, have you done any readings in Chicago?
I did one in December at Women and Children First. Yes, but I never did a reading for On Bittersweet Place. And it probably would be a natural place to...
Well, let me know when you're coming back. You should. Okay. You should do it. You should do a reading in Chicago. I mean, it's a very Chicago-centric book.
Yes, it is.
And I think you'd be very good at reading. It's a pleasure to meet you. You can go to Ron's website. I mean, you can go to a bookstore. You can go to online and buy a book. On Bittersweet Place is the title of the novel, and the website is RONNAWINEBERG. I almost feel like an idiot for spelling that for you, but you can go all these ways. It's a pleasure to meet you face to face. Keep writing is all I say.
Thank you.
And your sister too.
Thank you. And it's a
former
pleasure
public
to meet
school
you.
Teacher, man. That's the best. That's the best. You can be very proud of that too.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick.
Stay tuned. We're going to be talking John Dillinger and film societies and all sorts of jazz after the news.